The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God is available at www.desiringgod.org.
I am a Christian hedonist, though there are some who still insist I drop the name. I do not bid, much less demand, nor ever did, that anyone should follow me in wearing this strange badge. The key to joy and holiness is not in names or labels we have got, nor is much truth or love assured by ranks and titles we've secured. But I do bid that all will come and drink with me the waters from the fountain of delights whom we call Christ, and that we taste and see the fullness of his Father's joy, which none can make and none destroy. And that we take from his right hand eternal pleasures he has planned for those who love him more than all his gifts, and gladly leave the small and fleeting pleasures of the earth to savor God and all he's worth. I bid the world and everyone who's ever wanted joy to shun with me the ease of wealth, the chill and rush of faithless sex, the thrill of fame and pride of power, and all the thousand pleasures that enthrall us with their godless innocence, and pay instead a tribute whence all great and lasting pleasures come, to show by our pursuit that from his holy fountain flows far more than earth could ever hold in store. Call this whatever name you may, it is the truth. Shall God display his great, all-satisfying grace in joyless souls? And shall he trace the outlines of his majesty in hearts that neither taste nor see enough of him to comprehend that here their quest is at an end? No. God has made another way to put his glory on display. His goodness shines with brightest rays when we delight in all his ways. His glory overflows its rim when we are satisfied in him. His radiance will fill the earth when people revel in his worth. The beauty of God's holy fire burns brightest in the heart's desire. Now, I have taught these things for years, and found that sometimes there are fears in people's minds that even though this may be true, it is not so for them, or seems without some story they might think about relating to their daily life. And so I tell one of my wife. I say, suppose it is today our anniversary. Let's say the 25th, and I go down to some small florist in our town and buy a rose for every year that we've been married, then appear at our front door and ring the bell. And then you picture that Noel swings wide the door and hears me say, as I hold out the rose display, "A happy anniversary, Noel." And she responds, "For me? Oh, these are beautiful, but why so much?" To which I then reply, while holding up my hand, "You know, it is my duty that I go each year and buy what husbands ought to buy. I think I was well taught that there are proper ways to do these things, and I just wanted you to know that I am duty-bound and that my character is sound." Well, at this point, the story stops because they laugh, unless it flops, and then they groan. But I inquire, "What's wrong with duty?" "I admire this virtue very much. Do you not think that she was given due esteem, the object of such high and noble sentiments, that I should do what's right because it's right, not debase myself with vain delight? It's odd that you should laugh or groan when so much rectitude was shown. Is not she honored as the goal of all my work and self-control, by which all hedonistic thirst was held in check with no outburst? A question that I hope will show the answer, folks, is clearly no. How then shall she be honored more, if not by duty at the door? To answer this, let us return now to the scene and watch and learn. Noel swings wide the door. I say, while holding out the rose display, "A happy anniversary, Noel." And she responds, "For me? Oh, these are beautiful, but why so much?" To which I then reply, "It makes me glad to bring you things. In fact, Noel, I think it brings me more delight to spend this night with you than anyone I might. Why don't you go dress for a date and tell the boys it may be late? I cannot think of any way I'd rather celebrate this day than satisfying my desire with one that I so much admire." Now, at this point, the story ends, and I inquire of all my friends, "Does anyone believe that my good wife would angrily reply, 'You selfish Christian hedonist. Next thing you know, I might be kissed. It makes you glad to bring me things. And I suppose your heart has wings, and next you'll probably write some verse about how nothing could be worse for you than living without me.' Well, I suggest you should see what duty, discipline, and strain might make you do for me through pain." And then I ask, why doesn't she take such offense when I'm so free to say it gladdens me to be with you? The answer all can see. The pleasure that I take in her is but the measure I infer that all her excellence conveys. Delight does not indict, but praise. It fills the longing of my life and glorifies my wife. I am a Christian hedonist because I know that if I kissed my wife simply because it's right and not because it's my delight, it would not honor her so well. With pleasures, I will praise Noel, and I will magnify my wife by making her my joy in life. Her courage and her fearless grace to venture well beyond the place that people call secure and serve with even pace and steady nerve the cause of Christ and call it good to live in Philip's neighborhood. Her patience, living with five men named Karsten, Eber, Barna, Ben, and me, who lack a woman's touch, and maybe make a bit too much at mealtime of a cat's defeat and which road kills are fit to eat. Her sharp and penetrating mind that is not duped, but sees behind the ruse of advertising schemes and is not snared with empty dreams, but pierces through the polished skin and sees the heart and truth within. Her love for simple home decor, to keep things modest during war, to put no stock in passing fads, nor be intrigued with glossy ads, nor join the mass through empty miles spent chasing ever-changing styles. Her busy hands that never harm, but fill a room with Christmas charm or Lenten lights that make and mend and weave an afghan for a friend. Her faith and hope and love to Christ, her confidence that it sufficed for him to die and rise again to cover all our daily sin. Her fortitude and strength of will, when warmth and tenderness were nil, to do what one must do and walk in hope when we could scarcely talk. Her kneeling by me at the bed, day in, day out, as we have spread our hope and pain before the throne and watched God make his mercies known. Her grace that never holds a grudge and lays aside the right to judge, nor seeks revenge or to revile, but always comes to reconcile. Her faithfulness and love to me as solid as a great oak tree, but soft to touch and warm to feel, I've often called it velvet steel. These are a few of my delights, a taste of what my wife ignites. Now answer this. When I indulge my joy this way, does it divulge a miserly, self-centered bent, or that my wife is excellent? My answer does in this consist: I am a Christian hedonist. When I would magnify Noel, then let me all my pleasures tell. I hope that now it is not odd when I say, so it is with God. His goodness shines with brightest rays when we delight in all his ways. His glory overflows its rim when we are satisfied in him. His radiance will fill the earth when people revel in his worth. The beauty of God's holy fire burns brightest in the heart's desire. And if you ask, do my delights in wife and sons compete with heights of joy in God? Here's what I've seen. A prayer from wise Saint Augustine. Our love for thee is far too small, who love another thing at all, unless from thy pure hand we take and love it for thine own name's sake. So may this final Advent flame ignite in us for his great name a holy passion, zeal, and fire that magnify him with desire. I hail him as my joy in life and take from his pure hand my wife.
Thank you for listening to this message by John Piper, pastor for preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. We invite you to visit Desiring God online at www.desiringgod.org. There you'll find hundreds of sermons, articles, radio broadcasts, and much more, all available to you at no charge. Our online store carries all of Pastor John's books, audio, and video resources. You can also stay up to date on what's new at Desiring God. Again, our website is www.desiringgod.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Our mailing address is Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him.